devil's advocates. The fix for political junkies everywhere.
And this is Jim Santel once again today in the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm here in the studio, and Evan is here too, acting as my producer today. We're talking for the remainder of our time together today all about the J6 committee, the results of that 2.5 hour proceeding, going through some of the significant issues that came up, some significant testimony, especially from a couple of witnesses. Their names, Jason Tatenhoff and Stephen Ayers, at the very end of the presentation. Before we even get to that, however, a very compelling story told by the committee managers, specifically Representative Jamie Raskin from Maryland, Stephanie Murphy from Florida, telling the story about what happened on December 18th. Again, filling in some of the information, what was going on post-election, but before the inauguration, plainly, in January of 2021. But also before the January 6th insurrection. What did they tell us? Well, they said on December 18th, there was what could only be described, according to everybody who was there, all of the representatives who were discussing this, who were describing the events of that day, an unhinged meeting, their word, not mine, an unhinged meeting on December 18th. At the time of that meeting, late in the evening, we have entering into the White House three people. Michael Flynn, who we know well from previous engagements with not only the Justice Department, previously convicted, had his conviction overturned for lying to the FBI. Sidney Powell, also this attorney well known to America, perhaps not in a especially good way, for advancing in all these pieces of litigation around the country, this notion that the election had been stolen. And also named Patrick Byrne, who is from Overstock, probably the unknown character here. They somehow make it into the White House late in the evening of December 18th, after the election, before January 6th, and they're having this meeting with the President of the United States of America alone in the Oval Office. And during
the sound of that interaction with Mr. Cipollone,
it sounded like Pat Cipollone was not especially pleased, right, Evan, to hear about this. One of the representative said apparently he comes running when he discovers that suddenly the president with these three, again, none of them White House staffers, none of them certainly checked, screened by White House authorities. They're somehow permitted in. How that happens, for those of us who've been there, I suspect many of you had, very, very difficult to get in, absent an awful lot of hurdles to hurdle. They get in and they're having this conversation about what they can do to keep Donald Trump in the presidency. As Evan just said, the White House counsel, Pat Cipollone. Cipollone comes in, he storms in and says, "What's going on here?" Looks at one of them, says, looks at Patrick Byrne and says, "Who are you? I don't even know who you are." And says, "What's going on here?" And according to all the witnesses this afternoon, all the testimony, both on tape and then through the hearsay testimony, the recounting of especially Representatives Murphy and Raskin, there is screaming that's going on. The screaming continues for a long period of time. This meeting apparently migrates into the Roosevelt Room right across the way, migrates eventually into the residence, which is down the portico, up into the main building of the White House, when we think about the White House itself, out of the West Wing, and the conversation heated and profane, almost reaching the point of a physical fight among people, ended up in the residence, as I said, and it's all about what we can do. What can be done to keep the president in office? That is the advocacy, plainly by Michael Flynn, Sidney Powell, perhaps this Patrick Byrne fellow as well. And of course, Pat Cipollone, who's always said, continues to say, as he told the committee last week, there's no there. There's no basis upon which to keep him in office. The election was not stolen. And stop it. Apparently, name-calling is going on December 18th as this just over-the-top raucous event takes place. During the course of it, apparently Sidney Powell, as she has said before, talks about the engagement of Venezuela and Iran and even China. Insults are thrown back and forth. At some point, Pat Cipollone says, you know, how can it be that 60 judges have all found that there's no there, that this election was not in fact thrown? And Sidney Powell apparently says, well, they're all corrupt. Every single one of them is corrupt. We need to talk to the president, and the president plainly, implicitly, and not explicitly encourages this because he is listening finally to people who are telling him what he wants to hear. Not what he should hear, but what he wants to hear. He's telling them, they are telling him, selling to him a package of goods that plainly is premised upon facts that are not real. Screaming in and out of the West Wing, in and out of the residence. Nuts is how it's described. Along the way, it also becomes clear that even in advance of this meeting on the evening of December 18th, there's an executive order that's put together by some folks who met at the Trump International Hotel a couple days earlier. And the concept behind this executive order, a draft, thankfully never sees the light of day, never sees a light coming through some authors, probably like Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn, others, that the Department of Defense should seize voting machines and appoint Sidney Powell, who is there in the West Wing and the Oval Office, some sort of special counsel to monitor all of this. Again, Pat Cipollone, in his own testimony, as we heard today, shaking his head, scratching his head. That's probably understating it wildly, indicating that there's no there. This is all craziness. The executive order, of course, is not issued, but it further underscores what the intent was at that time to try to convince the president to go ahead and continue to push to retain power, to overturn the results of the election of the previous month in December. And we get this absolutely meltdown situation, one of the most dramatic, probably, in all of American history on December 18th. Eventually, Pat Cipollone is so outraged by all of this that he actually escorts Michael Flynn out of the West Wing, out of the White House, off into the grounds, presumably right there on Pennsylvania Avenue and 16th and 17th Streets. He says to make certain that Michael Flynn doesn't somehow make his way back into the residence. And this, once again, Pat Cipollone indicating all of this, recounting this to confirm all of this on December 18th. A very important thing that the committee talked about today, presented an awful lot of evidence, not just from Pat Cipollone and others, but confirming that this event in which the president is still hanging on to this notion of retaining the presidency in mid-December, December 18th, December 19th, and then, perhaps the most important thing that comes out of that is the president plainly stewing. This meeting then has taken place. Presumably the shouting has stopped. The screaming has stopped. The nutso has stopped. And at 1:42 in the morning, we know the former president did lots of things in the early morning hours. He sends this tweet that Representative Murphy talked about in advance of the hearing today. And he says to all of those who would support him, be there, meaning on January 6th, will be wild. Be there, will be wild. That is the invitation that he makes at 1:42 a.m. on December 19th. And that's what initiates everything that happened then afterwards, bringing us up to January 6th, the insurrection, the riot, the loss of life, the injury not only to individuals, that is the most horrific consequence of that day, but also the injury to our nation and the attempt to overthrow the legitimate decisions made by Americans in voting for one president, one candidate, and not for another. I'm going to talk more about that this afternoon, but we're always taking your phone calls. Delighted to have you call in at 844-967-2789. And Evan's got lined up. Kurt, you're calling in. Be delighted to have you contribute to our conversation this afternoon.
Yes, James, good afternoon. I'd like to make a comment and ask you a question.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
I've been watching every last minute of all the proceedings, and I've also, news commentators, and my blood literally curdles when I hear someone make the statement about how smart Trump is and how he was able to manipulate so many people. I couldn't disagree more. He is clearly dumb as a box of rocks. And this is a man who has made others wealthy because they used him as a willing pawn. And if anything, he's a benchmark to two things. One, how badly broken our justice system, because this guy should have been in jail before he hit the age of 50. And two, it also shows what happens to a large number of people in the United States who lack all skills of critical thinking or are already fascists, and it just brought them out of the shadows. So my question to you is this. after today, and especially with the closing, with the next hearing saying that they have audio of Trump interfering with a witness,
yes.
If the proceedings were not to move forward from this point on, not hearing anything more, in your opinion, do they have enough to put him away?
Kurt, let me unpack some of those very, very good thoughts. Thanks so much for calling in. Really appreciated that. And, you know, I could not agree more that many of the things that we have been challenged with throughout since 2015, arguably before that, right, when the former president first declared his candidacy for the White House. This is a man who fundamentally doesn't understand how government works, right? And he reveals that during the course of his tweets, his comments, both official and unofficial, the things that he says on the record, off the record. He does not have not only those critical thinking skills, Kurt, that you just described, but he fundamentally doesn't understand how it is that the Congress works, how the executive branch works, what judges do. And my suspicion, like that of many others, it was implicit, if you will, in what a lot of what Liz Cheney said today and in previous proceedings, is that this is a man who came to the White House anticipating that he'd be able to operate the government, be the chief executive, one branch among three, which he may or may not appreciate fully, operate in the same way that he ran the Trump organization itself. And that is, I simply tell somebody to do something. I simply tell Evan that I want you to do this, and he will do it because he is my employee. Evan, you're not my employee. You're my colleague and my friend, and glad to have you with me. But that the notion still holds.
Yeah.
In government, as in here, as in most businesses, the notion that you can simply tell people what to do is certainly true in civics, in government generally. You just don't do that. And here, I think, we have a situation where Donald Trump found himself consistently stupefied. Maybe Kurt, he is a product of a failed education and may be as dumb as a box of rocks, as you appropriately described it. But he also ran for the presidency. And we should expect more, right? And I think, Kurt, you'd agree with that as well. It certainly is a benchmark that we have not yet, in all of the fraud that he has committed, seen him in a court where he is really held criminally responsible for the things he's done civilly in many ways. And we certainly hope that the U.S. Department of Justice, which we know now is looking at many of these same kinds of things, will in fact pursue this. And so let me offer a couple of more insights into the very good questions, Kurt, that you raised about what happens next. We know that for all of this presentation, including the things that we heard about today, some of them for the first time, this December 18th meltdown discussion that was going on, we know that the committee itself cannot prosecute him. I started this afternoon by talking about Steve Bannon. The committee does not have the capacity to prosecute anybody. They're not litigants. They're not the Department of Justice. They can refer things or not. But the Department of Justice on its own can, and I would offer should be, investigating many of these kinds of things. Every indication now in the wake of everything from Peter Navarro indicating that he got a subpoena. We know from Lisa Monaco they are definitely looking at this false electors situation. The Attorney General himself, Merrick Garland, has said on at least two, if not three occasions, we're going to pursue this as far as it needs to go. Very, very strong indications. We've had some search warrants issued, right? Jeffrey Clark and others out there and John Eastman. We know search warrants come out of the Department of Justice. We know that they're looking at it. We don't know the scope. We don't know the focus yet, nor should we. All these things are grand jury proceedings and should not be in the public domain. But we know that the Department of Justice is looking at this, and we do need to spend some time waiting for that result. But we also know the reason for the committee's work today is to let the American public know what happened. That is a huge, huge responsibility and duty. They're doing a fantastic job from my perspective. I'm going to talk more about that right after the break here on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Again, taking your phone calls at 844-967-2789.
Fired, it always has to be the top. I mean, problems start from the top, and they have to get solved from the top, and the president's the leader, and he's got to get everybody in a room, and he's got to lead, and he doesn't do that. He doesn't like doing that. That's not his strength.